Welcome to Second Wind Women, the place where we celebrate women who've taken everything they've learned and turned it into an unstoppable business. If you've spent years supporting everyone else's dreams while yours waited in the wings, this is your moment. Right now, women are rewriting the rules of entrepreneurship, using their experience and wisdom to build businesses that honor both their ambitions and their true selves. Here you'll hear real stories from women who've walked this path, practical strategies, and honest conversations about the unique challenges and the incredible advantages of starting over with intention. I'm Karen Spies, creative strategist, business coach, and your navigator on this journey. Your experience isn't something to overcome. It's your greatest advantage. And together, we'll discover how your second wind can be your strongest yet.
All right. There we go.
Hi, Amy. Welcome to Second Wind Women. Can you tell us a little bit about your business, Abundant Marketing?
Yes. Hi, Karen. I sure can. So Abundant Marketing is a small boutique consulting and marketing agency that's designed to really support private practice medical offices and private practice physician owners and just helping them get more visibility with their practice so that they can gain new patients, and then also help with some retention of their current patients.
Okay, great. And so did you get started in that because you were working kind of in more corporate medicine and you wanted to move on to private practice? Or how did you connect with this group of people that you're working with?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have technically been in healthcare my entire professional career.
What does technically mean?
Technically, yeah, that's it. Okay, let me reinstate that. Okay. I have been in healthcare, specifically sales, marketing, business development, my entire career, so post-college on. And most of that was in corporate, and due to several facets, one being just a season in life change, along with some other things happening just in corporate America, I branched off and I really saw the need for specifically private practices that here in our local area were being bought out just, you know, right and left all constantly.
National problem.
Exactly. Really. And a lot of that had to do with, there's a lot that goes into it, but a part of that had to do with marketing. Their traditional marketing was word of mouth. We just live off word of mouth. They weren't really doing anything above and beyond that. Some of them didn't even have a basic website. And that's what I bring to the table, is to show them and be that liaison to help bring the visibility to their practice, make sure that they don't have patients aging out. And the next thing they know, their patients are drying up, and without patients, they can't pay the bills. And when I worked in a private practice, that's when I really saw firsthand that what a challenge that doctors were having. And the other part of that is these doctors were really getting taken advantage of. People, other agencies. Yeah. So like other agencies, other marketing firms with, you know, doctors, big bucks, right? Like they.
Doctors and lawyers.
Yep. Doctors and lawyers, they have deep pockets. So we're going to perhaps overcharge them. Also, what I saw being that person that was working within the practice and heading up the marketing, so I was directly working with vendors, is often they would give us really great service for a month, 2 months. And the next thing you know, like the service is somewhat diminishing, but they still wanted to bill that credit card every month, right? Mm-hmm. They wanted their money. And so my passion was to help to help the doctors. Because at the end of the day, helping the doctors really also helps with better care and better access to physicians. And that's really what it's all about. And experience that firsthand is why I chose to leave corporate and really make it my passion. And even on my website, you know, it literally says in the footer, like, you know, helping every practice, you know, one practice at a time. Like, who else can we help? What else can I offer? And sometimes what we do, we're small but mighty group, right? A team. But I really, truly develop a good relationship with my clients. Most of them, I know when their birthdays are. One of my longest clients, her son just graduated college.
And that's so important to like have that human connection, you know?
Yeah. We're not just sitting behind a computer screen and doing some implementation for them. We're really trying to help cultivate a relationship because things change, right?
Well, and then you understand where they're coming from so you can give them better service, right? It's more like a co-creation. It's not like this is Amy's style and she does it with every private practice that she works with, right?
Yes. You yes. know. And you know, Karen, that's a good point. One thing I say often when I'm meeting with a new potential client to work with, and sometimes that's a physician owner, sometimes that's a practice manager,
but I often find, you know, they come to me, well, what's your package? What's your price? Like, I say, well, wait a minute. Let's peel back the layers of that onion a little bit and figure out, well, what is it that you really need? What are you missing? And then let's find something that works for you and your budget, right?
Right. Because they're not all in the same budget. Some of them don't even have a marketing budget. They're like,
should I have a marketing budget?
We come from like a microwave ready-made society, right? So they're used to just being like, here's the card. Tell me. You know, and then,
yes.
And then if they compare your price to somebody else's price without even understanding what the two of you are offering,
yes,
it's just, you know, it's the whole
apples to
who knows what comparison, yeah. Right?
That's true. Yeah. And the output or results, expectation of results can be different too, right? So if they're just needing a little bit of assistance, well, they can't expect their phone to ring off the hook if we're just doing a few things.
So setting the right expectations, but also being
that quarterback for them where they can come to us when they get stuck or if they need us to help. We've done this too. Like we've trained somebody in the staff to do something like their social media or reply appropriately, HIPAA compliant Google review, you know, things like that where they just sometimes, like in any business, they just don't know what they don't know. So you just educate help them move forward.
Totally. So what was like the tipping point that got you to make this change? I mean, it's kind of a big
it
change.
Is.
You did mention something about life changes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was really twofold. Part of it was I kind of got forced into it. And that's because at the time I was working for a group that was private, but they were still affiliated in a partnership, let's say, with a big corporation, big hospital corporation. And the corporation decided to make some big changes. And in doing that, they decided they were going to downsize and essentially buy up the practice. So when that happened, I was displaced because here I was just working with just my 9 doctors and bringing in new patients and doing all the things that I know how to do when this corporation had an entire team.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So
and probably a different approach, right?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Different. And
cookie cutter, if you will, a very cookie cutter approach. Yeah.
Corporate for you, you know.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So that happened. And at the same time, I had a young child and I just decided, you know what, this might be best anyway, because I could be home with my kiddo more
and I could work on my time, meaning, yeah, maybe after bedtime, I go work on the computer and do some campaigns for 2 or 3 hours while he's sleeping or things like that. So really it kind of came together. I always say my son gave me the real motivation and confidence, if you will, and kind of that kick in the booty to make the transition, because if it wasn't for him, I can't say I'd be doing what I'm doing right now, because I think I really feel he was the catalyst to make it move forward, because I really needed to have more independence. And my passion was still there. It's what I know. Healthcare is, I mean, I've worked with doctors, for doctors, my entire
career. So I really can understand their business. And I often get,
after I've worked with somebody over a year or so, they said, there's nobody like you in what you do. Like, you really understand our business. And I said, yeah, most people just want to come in and talk their jargon, right? And sell you on what they can do. And that's not always bad. But when you get frustrated and you have something else that happens, sometimes they'll just call me and say, hey, this just happened in my practice. I know you might not be able to handle it, but they also have a great network. So is there somebody that you could refer me to? Is there somebody we could call? Yeah. So I've done a lot of that over the years too. And really, Karen, that's very fulfilling for me just to know, like, hey, they really trust me with their business.
Yeah. To give me a call when they maybe get stuck with something else outside of the scope of sales and marketing.
Yeah. I mean, going back a little bit to your whole, you know, having a child while going into business for yourself, mm-hmm. I'm sure like in retrospect, it's great because now you have this built up thing and you can work around your child's schedule. But wasn't that really scary at the time?
Yes. Sometimes it's still scary. I will admit, because, you know, when you don't have an auto depot every 2 weeks coming into your bank account and maybe you lose a big client,
you know, things can change overnight. But to answer your question more directly, yes, it was scary,
but I did some proper planning and did the things that, you know, a lot of the books and coaches and business coaches will tell you. But, you know, I had 6 months saved up. And I did have a blueprint of what I wanted to follow. And I was committed to initially 6 months. Let me see what I can do in 6 months, right? And if this totally flops or I'm failing, then I'll pivot again and go back and get a job or find something else. But I do find in entrepreneurship of any sort, there's especially women, you know, they give up right before they're at that tipping point.
And that's how it goes, right?
Yeah.
It's right when you get to the peak of the mountain, it's the most steep, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then they slide back down. And then they may never try it again or give it a rest and keep going.
You know, I will say this has been 5 years in and it's not been easy. There are days. Yeah. It's just, you know, but you pick your hard, right? Like corporate job isn't easy.
Hard in
right?
a different way. Yeah.
That's right. That's yeah. right. And going back and leaning on, you know, my son giving me that extra boost to give this a try is like some days my son gets more of me and my business takes a back seat. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, what I'm doing isn't going to make or break anybody's business in a day, right? You know, over time it could. And then some days my kiddo is taking a back seat and might be on the iPad a little more than I wanted because something urgently is going on with a client and I need to jump in and help out or onboard a new client or, you know, something like that. So
it's kind of a balancing act. And I will say no 2 days are alike.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I was, when I first started being an entrepreneur too, it was because my daughter, you know, I had my daughter mm-hmm. and I was a single parent. And I was like, you know, hell if I'm going to send her to school sick because I can't find childcare.
That's right. So,
yeah.
It was just, you're just in it. So how has your being a mom and like doing this kind of balancing act, which, you know, I think is a lot more common than people realize.
How has that kind of changed your definition of success in your business and maybe in your life too?
Yes, that's a great question.
You know, it offers a lot of reflection
and satisfaction, I would say, as far as
doing this on my own and looking back and setting like an example also for my son. Like, you don't have to go get a job. You don't have to, right? Like, there's other avenues
to building a life that you want to live on your terms.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think having this business is,
you know, the balancing and the back and forth. I mean, my son has seen that and he's going to have different things to say and discuss with his friends and compare with his friends with that maybe have parents that have to drop their kids off at 7:30 because they have to be at the office at 8:00 where, you know, my son gets
pre-day childcare, whatever it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have, he gets a hot meal we get breakfast every morning, good, healthy meal. He gets to school on time. You know, he's very, so anyway, probably too much on the mom side. It really it warms my heart that having this and being able to balance both has helped me feel like I'm fulfilling my goal in life, right? And passion. So I'm helping businesses, but I'm doing it in my terms, on my time, and with great success. I will say, you know, proof is in the pudding. I just said that with one of my clients yesterday and something we were going through, and I'm very data-driven marketing. And so we are going through some data-driven. And for me, the data
is one part, but the other part is all of my clients that started with me, except for one, are still with me. They are still working, you know, they may downsize because, you know, they needed a bunch of services to get them going. But at the end of the day, my very first client I signed up here in the Kansas City area is still, we're still working with them.
That's so awesome. And how long has that been?
That's been 5 years. Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. Yes.
Now I will say I've got a good working relationship with that. That's the practice manager. He's on the brink of retirement. So who knows?
Things change when
things do.
That's right. But
I don't know. Does that answer your question?
It does answer my question. I mean, that's, you know,
I've always thought to myself, like, when you work for somebody, if that falls apart, you've got nothing, right? But if you have, you know, you have 30 clients and two clients dump you, you're like,
that's not great. But that's right? true.
So what would you say to, like, what would you say to somebody who was either, I'm just going to go with the single parent thing. Like, what would you say to somebody who was a single parent who wanted to start their own business, but they had some,
you know, they were frightened by, you know, the instability of it, you know, because it sounds like you've made it work great for your situation and your family, because you've come from somewhere where you were kind of entrenched and you already had this background, right? So
true.
What would you say to somebody, just, you know, make up a story about where they're coming from, I guess?
Yeah. Well, I would say for anybody, but specifically females and a parent of any sort, whether you're a single parent or not, right. I mean, you know, parenting and kids come first. I would say what saved me is having that plan and sticking to the plan. And then also having financially that, you know, that bulk of money that we saved up to say, look, you know, even if I don't get a single client or get two and I'm at breaking even,
can I still pay the bills? Can we still do the things for 6 months
and go all in? Now, I will say in those 6 months, we ate a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, ramen noodles. We didn't go out too much. We went to the park a lot, right? Yeah. So
That's the thing. You have to be willing to maybe give up your current lifestyle
in order to build the lifestyle that you want and see the vision for that. And, you know, one person that I worked with that was a business coach said one thing, and it's always stuck with me, is in doing that, also don't forget to enjoy the journey that gets you to the destination. And right. That, to this day, I like, when I get stuck or flustered, like, why am I doing this? Or I feel like I want to give up again or something like that. Because we all have those days in entrepreneurship. Yeah. I always circle back. It's like actually written on my whiteboard.
Don't forget, like, this is part of growing pains. This is part of the destination or the journey to get to that destination. So for anyone that's thinking they want to leave corporate, you know, the other thing I did too, before I actually left corporate, is I talked to people and I said, you know, I'm thinking about this. What's your feedback? Is this something that you could see, you know, yourself? I went to a couple of physicians and they said, oh, you'd be great at that. We would support you. They gave me some testimonials. They
did market research.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I had already their permission to use like their face and put that on, you know, so
social proof is always nice to have. So those would be some of the things that I would recommend for anybody. But as far as the financial piece of it, save the money and proper planning, because entrepreneurship really is a gamble, right? You don't know for sure how things will go. And maybe I would have been, even if I didn't have a child and be a single mom at the time, maybe I could have done what I did in 6 months and 3 months. Like, I always say that. But who knows? Who knows?
You wouldn't have had as much fun because you wouldn't have had your kid there with you.
That's true. That is so true. And it's fun because he picks up on lingo, and he actually made a little video the other day, and I didn't know what he was doing. And he came in and he was all dressed up and showed me the video, and he was doing like a commercial for my marketing. He's like, Mom, do you want me to airdrop that to you and you could use it? I was like, sure, buddy.
Fantastic.
It's fun.
He's pulling in the vibe. So what would you say is like the biggest challenge that, because you're a little ways along now, right? You've been going for 5 years, so you're solid. What do you think is like the biggest challenge? Is it like getting to the next point of your growth, or is it building your team, or what's the biggest challenge you're dealing with right now?
Yeah, that's a great question.
My biggest challenge is trying to remove myself from the day-to-day operations,
so that I can scale the business a little bit, or at least maintain it, and then free up more of my time to do things that I want to do. I mean, that is half the reason I wanted to go in business, right?
So that I don't have to be doing the implementation and the managing every single day.
Now, my goal may be different from somebody else's goal. I don't want to build a
Fortune 500 company. That's right. Not what my goal is. Because I still want to be connected. I still feel very passionate about having that connection with all my clients. Like I said, their birthdays and things.
That's important to me because that makes me feel whole inside and happy.
And so I can't remove myself entirely, but learning to delegate because I am that person that's like, if I want it done right, I'll do it myself. But you can't do that in business. You have to train people and trust
and delegate.
I think that's one of the huge like personal development results of being in business for yourself, right? Is that you have to
come up against challenges like this and really look at yourself. So much more obviously than people just living a
less
volatile life, shall we say.
Yes, that is true. There's a lot of things that maybe I thought I would encounter or I anticipated.
Because, you know, sometimes you're just like, oh, I know what it's like to own a business, or I envision what it's like to be an entrepreneur. But until you're doing the do, you don't really know until you get in there. And there's some things, it's a couple hard lessons I've learned, but
it's nothing but growth and personal development and professional development, really.
It's what was the biggest like blind side that you were like, I never expected something like this would happen?
Ooh, let's see. The biggest one would probably be when I decided to make my first hire.
That was, I thought it'd be easy, but it was way more time consuming than I thought it would be. That was a little bit blindsided. And then to follow up on that is when I had a really good
person on our team working that
had some personal issues and basically said, for the unforeseen future, I don't know when I'll be back to work. So, you know, then you're like picking up the pieces. How do I replace that somebody? When you don't have a team of, 25, where you can just slip somebody right in there, you're like, that's a pretty significant component of what we're doing. And how quickly can I replace you? And guess what? Until I replace you, I got to step in and do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's on you.
And I think I know that, but until you go through it and then you realize like the extra stress that puts on you. Yeah, that one was challenging.
Yeah, I mean, even if you have a team of 25, they're all doing 25 different things.
True.
Typically, yeah. Right?
Typically.
Or they have their own strengths.
Well, what would you kind of want to end up having people remember about the story of your journey and, you're catapulting yourself into this, pretty successful marketing agency working with a private practice?
What would I want them to remember about? Yeah.
About kind of your story and what, about you.
Yeah.
And your business.
Well, what I most want people to remember is that we offer marketing services for private practices. But above and beyond that, for anyone that's listening that is early in their entrepreneurship or business or thinking about that, is what I'd want them to remember is, don't give up on your dreams. Have a plan in place.
And continue to work it. There's that whole saying about the hustle culture and there's so many people against the whole, but in business, there is an essence of hustle that you just can't
ignore, and be prepared for that. Like, you're going to have to hustle in some fashion, and maybe your hustle is different than my hustle, right? And like Karen, you probably hustled in a different way for what you're doing, but go in like eyes wide open and continue to fight for what you want. And again, like I said earlier, my truly enjoy the journey to get to your destination. Don't forget what the destination is, and everybody's destination could be different. Use my story and what I've been doing as, I hope, inspiration for other ladies out there. But yeah, I think you just keep going. And believe me,
I'm 5 years in, but this was a long 5 years. Like I said, if I wasn't a single parent and the different things, COVID happened, all the things that happened. Yeah, I think I would probably be next to my business right now, but I had to do what worked for me in that moment and in that time and in that season of life, right? Right. And I did all of this over the age of 40. All of this was Yes.
There's that. So, I have no idea how old you are.
Oh. Yep.
But
I'm an older mom. I did everything later in life. I became a mom later in life. I decided to start the business later in life.
So there's, you know, you don't have to be in your 20s and have all the software knowledge to start a business these days. You know, right. use the knowledge that you have. I mean, over 40, we have a lot of knowledge, right? We have a lot of life experience that we can share and make that a business for, you know, other people that can, you can serve and help.
Yeah, that's very inspirational. That's pretty incredible that you just started out like not in your 20s, like later on, and
you hustled with the kid, you hustled with the work, you made it all happen. I commend you on that.
Thank you, Karen. Amazing. Yeah, thanks. I will say, as I'm coming up on turning 50, 40s were
definitely the most challenging decade of my life so far, but also the most rewarding. The most rewarding.
I mean, those things tend to, you know, go hand in hand.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Amy.
Yeah, thank you. This was great. I really enjoyed talking with you, and I hope to inspire some other female entrepreneurs out there.
Thanks. I hope we do. And I'll put your socials underneath.
Okay, perfect. Great. Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow, you're really professional. Good job.
Thanks for joining us on Second Wind Women. I hope today's conversation sparked something for your own journey. This podcast is one way I support women who are stepping into entrepreneurship. In my work, I help entrepreneurs shape businesses that not only grow, but also feel good to run. The kind that fit your life instead of taking it over. If you're building something and want a little more clarity, structure, or strategy, you can find out more about how I work with entrepreneurs at secondwindwomen.com. Until next time, keep breathing life into that second wind. It might just carry you further than you think. Thanks.